Your speaker is Garland Robinson, and we're talking about qualities of a good Bible student. Every Christian's desire ought to be to please God, shouldn't it? Every desire should be to involve ourselves in doing God's will. But in order to do that, one, we have to know what the will of God is. Then once we've learned that, then we need to obey what it says. In order to do that, we must study the Word of God. That's why every child of God should love and enjoy studying the Bible. In Bible study, one partakes of the food, the spiritual food that'll help us grow unto maturity. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." The Bible reveals to us that those who obey the gospel began as babes, babies in the Lord. Now, in the physical realm, we recognize when babies are born, they're unable to take care of themselves. They need the assistance of their mother, their father, and there's a spiritual babe in Christ. Those who first obey the gospel, the Bible says they desire the milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. But the Bible reveals that we must continue to grow in the Lord and mature. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Here we read of individuals to whom these things were written. They had been Christians now long enough that they should have grown up in the Lord. They should have been mature, but they were not. He said, "You're still babes. You've never grown. You've never seasoned. You've never matured, but you're still as babes, and you need the milk all over again." Well, hopefully, we would not be that way. You would not be that way. We desire to know the will of God, and we can grow. Too many people say, "Well, that's not for me," or I just can't remember that," or "I just can't do that. That's for elders. That's for preachers. That's for others who are very good in Bible things." And so many just content themselves to not grow in the Lord at all. Well, the reason Churches of Christ have Bible study classes is that we might fulfill the obligation that we have to grow in the Lord. We find the Bible teachers will spend hours and hours in preparation, in study, that they might be able to impart the unsearchable riches of Christ to their students. That's what we seek to do at every time we come together to study the Bible. But what's so discouraging about it is that when the teacher has prepared themselves and they've studied and they've got everything in order, then many times the students do not come. And then many times those who do come have not prepared themselves. They haven't read their lesson. They haven't done any preparation or study on their own. And obviously that's very discouraging. It's discouraging to the whole church. It's discouraging to the teacher that has prepared themselves and hopefully studied their lessons and made things that they might be faithful in carrying out their duty and their obligation of teaching that Bible class. I want to go through in this lesson and look at some principles, some qualities of a good Bible student. Every one of us can be a good Bible student. We all have differing abilities, of course, but we can still be a good Bible student if we will take the time to study these things and prepare ourselves in the Lord's will. I want to look at a number of things then. Number one, in order to be a good Bible student, I need to love the truth. You need to love the truth. Have a passion to know the truth. In Psalm 119, we read in verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day." Can you say that? Can you honestly say that you love the law of God? That you think about it? You meditate upon it? You know, we all have activities and jobs wherein we can engage ourselves in doing the job we're doing. But in the back of our mind, we can still think about things that are holy. And here, that's what the psalmist says. It is my meditation all the day. We also read in verse 103 of Psalm 119, "Oh, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." We also read about 10 verses later, verse 113, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Again in verse 163 of Psalm 119, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." Now all of these verses again speak of the very point, I need to love the Word of God. Friend, if you love the Word of God as you should, then you would desire it. You would study it. You would prepare yourselves, think about it, meditate upon it. And even when you're not able to pull the Bible out and sit down and read it, that you're reminiscing, you're mindful of certain scriptures that you have read, and you're thinking of them, meditating upon them in your mind and in your heart. We read in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 19, "Love the truth." That would be the admonition that I would give to each and every one. Love the truth. When we love the truth, we will desire to know the truth. When we know the truth, we will believe the truth. We will trust, have confidence and faith in the Word of God. Jesus said to those Jews that believed on Him in John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice what the Lord said. Here were some individuals that believed, and He said, if you truly believe, if you really have confidence and trust in me and my word, then He said, you'll continue in my word. You'll continue to live daily by the word of God. And He says, then and only then are ye my disciples in truth indeed. And He says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17 we read, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." It must be the desire of every individual that we would understand the will of God. Sad indeed is it the case when someone does not want to know God's will. They would shake their fist in God's face, curse Him and die, and yet they'll pay the penalty for an eternity in hell one day for such irreverence and non-respect and non-obedience to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the greatest qualities that we could have as a Bible student would be to love the truth. Don't love error. Don't love just a part of the truth, but love all the truth because it is the Word of God. Number two, we need to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. That is, we believe in the verbal, plenary inspiration of the Bible. All that means is that we believe that every word in every verse, in every chapter, in every book is inspired of God. It's not that just some things are inspired and other things are not, but that every word of the Scripture is inspired alike. We read that David had said back in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." Notice that. When David spake, he said, the word of God was in his tongue. There are no trivial chapters in the Bible. There are no useless verses or words in the Bible. But you know often what people do? If they do take the time to read the Scriptures, they'll run across a word that they cannot pronounce. They don't know exactly how to say it, and they'll just skip over it and read on. They never take the time to get a dictionary to look the word up to see what it means. That word is important. that word is inspired of God. It's not to be skipped. It's not to be ignored or just circumvented, because every word is there for a purpose. It is given by the inspiration of God. That's why we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What does he tell us there about the Word of God? He said it is inspired of God, and it is profitable. It will show us the teaching that God desires that we know, and that teaching will reprove us. It'll convict us of our sins, and it'll tell us what to do to correct the wrongs and the sins that we've done. And then once corrected, it will go on and instruct us further in how to live to be pleasing in God's sight. And all of those things, he said, will bring about our maturity in the Lord, our completeness, that we might be well equipped to do the Lord's will and to be pleasing in His sight. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 we read, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God here has given every scripture for our benefit, and it pertains to living every day in this world and tells us how to be pleasing in God's sight, how to be godly in this world. And in order to do that, we've got to know the truth. And once we know it, we've got to obey it. And the only way we can know the truth is to turn to the Bible, which is the truth, the Scriptures, the Almighty Word of God, and then study diligently these things, rightly dividing the Word of truth, that we might be right in God's sight. That's the only way we can be a good and proper Bible student, because that's what God requires of us. One of these days, we will stand before Him in judgment and have to give an account of how we've lived in this life and what we've done in this world. And one of those things is the knowledge of the Word of God. If we're going to be pleasing in His sight, we have to know what that Word is, what it requires, in order that we might be right in God's sight. This has been Garland Robinson.